This chazar is echinesh b'chazkes k'shag b'mem Yehuda m'sech the Yivam estav chav dalad. Zok the Mishnah, the mitzvah is for the oldest brother to the Yivam. However, if a younger brother goes ahead and does it, he has gained the mitzvah. Zok the Gemara Brisa says, the pasuk says, v'hoya b'char, which teaches that the mitzvah is for the oldest brother to the Yivam. Asher teled teaches that an islandess is potter from Yivam. Yok mashem ochev ameis teaches that the brother who does Yivam inherits the entire estate of the deceased brother. The Brisa asks, maybe the last part of the pasuk teaches that if the son is born with the Yivama, he should be given the name of the deceased brother. Where I said, we learn exer shavim the pasuk of al shem achehem yikaru b'nach alosam, that here too, we're talking about inheritance. The Brisa continues and says, the pasuk of v'lo yimachu shemoi teaches that if the deceased brother was someone who couldn't have children himself, his wife is not subject to yivam. Rava said, although the entire part in the entire Torah pasuk is ein mikra miyoytz midei pshutai, this pasuk based on the gzeir shava is yoytz midei pshutai, meaning you do not have to name the child after the brother. Even without the gzeir shava, it would seem that this is not the meaning to give the name, but rather it's nachala, because the pasuk is al shem ochiv. If the pasuk is instructing the brother to go ahead and how to name the child, the pasuk should say for achicha, name it for your brother. And if the pasuk is instructing bezdin, the pasuk should say al shem achi aviv. It must therefore refer to inheritance. The Gemara says that maybe the pasuk is instructing Bezdin to tell the brother to name the child after Achiv, his brother. However, the Gzeir Shava teaches a totally different meaning, and therefore Yoytze over here will be Yoytze Midei Pshutai. Frekma, based on the drasha of the Brais, maybe we should say that only the Bechor can do the mitzvah, no other brother. Mar said, if that was true, then we would not need a pasuk to teach that Eish Zachos Lo HaBelama, he can't do Yivam, because by definition, he's not a Bechor. Vachay asked, maybe the exclusion is needed for a newborn brother who is a Bechor to the mother, and say that he's also not part of it. The Mar says, since Yivam is all about inheritance, we would never think that a Bechor to the mother would make a difference for Yivam. Frekma, maybe we should say that the mitzvah of Yivam only applies where there's a Bechor. If there's no Bechor, there's no mitzvah of Yivam. Mar says, the pasuk says, Umeis Echad Mehem. Which presumably includes a case where even the Bechor was the one who died, and we still see that as the mitzvah of Yivam. In fact, maybe the pasuk is discussing only where the younger brother dies, and it must be that the Bechor is only the one who does Yivam. The Gemara says, if so, there will be no reason for the pasuk to exclude the case of Eish Zachos Lo HaBelama. In fact, maybe we should say that when there's no Bechor, if a younger brother did Yibum before an older brother, and Echanam, he got the mitzvah. But if there's a Bechor, only the Bechor can do the mitzvah, and the younger brother who is boiled the Yavama will actually not accomplish anything. The pasuk says, Ki Yeshu Achim Yachtav, teaches that all brothers are equally qualified to do Yibum. In fact, maybe we should say that if there's a Bechor and no brother wants to do Yibum or Chalitza, we then force the Bechor to do one of them. But if there's no Bechor, we don't force anyone, which would oppose the view of Abaye Kashisha, who said that we always go back to the oldest brother, even if he's not the Bechor, and force him to choose what to do. Where it says, just as the position of the Bechor makes us force him to choose, so too the position of being the oldest brother who's around makes us force him to choose what to do. In fact, maybe we should say that if it's a Bechor who does the Yibum, he'll inherit the brother, but if any other brother does the Yibum, he doesn't inherit the brother. Where it says, the pasuk giving the inheritance says, Yokam al Shem Ochiv, and the brother has done so he'll inherit the brother, even if he's not the Bechor. If so, why does the pasuk use the word Bechor? Mar says, to teach that just as a Bechor only takes a double portion of the currently held assets of his father and not of the prospective assets, the same is true for the brother who does Yibum. As Machlekes Rishonim, what it means, whether that's true in the brother's assets or maybe just if the brother is later inheriting the father in those other assets. But in any case, to some extent, it also teaches that he also does not take Beroy Kibimurzik. Zok the Mishnah, if there are rumors that a man has been mezana with a shifcha and then she's freed, or with a non-Jewish woman and then she converts, this man may not marry her, so as not to give credibility to the rumors. However, if he did marry her, we don't force him to get divorced. If a man was rumored to be mezana with a married woman, and the woman was divorced by her husband on the instruction of Bezin, so this man may not go and marry that woman. If he goes ahead and marries her, we do force them to get divorced. Frekt the Gemara. The Mishnah seems to say that although this convert, you know, this woman who converted just to marry this man, so even though that was the whole reason, it was just to marry, still she's considered to be a ger. However, we find that Rav Nechemya says in the Braisa that someone who converts for an ulterior motive, meaning to marry or for money, it's not a true convert. Marissa was said in the name of Rav that all such people are true converts. If so, why don't we allow them to marry the Chatchila? Marissa says the reason we don't allow them to marry is based on Rav Asi, who learns from a pasuk that one may not act in a way that will foster bad rumors about himself. This marriage will foster the rumors of his earlier zenus. Marissa, the Braisa says that we will not accept gerim in the times of Mashiach. Similarly, we did not accept gerim in the times of David or Shlomai, meaning people have to become gerim, well, not for the covet, not for the they have to become gerim for the sake of becoming a true yid, and that can happen when the yidden are sort of on top. Rav says we only force them to get divorced where they were witnesses to the act of zanus. Rav Sheshes asked, the Brisa says if a man divorced his wife because of rumors of her being mezana, and she then married someone else who then the second husband now also divorced her, if the rumored adulterer then married her, we don't force him to get divorced. Now, this must be talking about where there were no witnesses to this nus, because if they were, why would the fact that she married someone else in between allow her to now marry that adulterer? We don't know, it's also to marry the adulterer. And yet we see that she may only remain married to the adulterer when she had married someone else in between, because that stopped the rumors. Otherwise, we would force a divorce even though there are no witnesses. Where it says, Rav would say, in truth, we would not force a divorce if she hadn't married someone else in between. The chiddush of the braisa is that if she does marry someone else in between, in which case the rumors that there's nus had subsided, still she may not get married to him l'chatchila. Like Mar Brisa says, we only force a divorce if the woman did not have children from the first marriage. Forcing divorce because that will cause people to say that the children are mamzerim. However, if she has children, we do not force a divorce. In either case, if there are witnesses to this nus, we do force a divorce even if she had children. We see from here that we force a divorce even without witnesses. Rav says, our mission is discussing where she had children and where there were witnesses. He didn't mean that we always need witnesses to force a divorce. Why didn't Rav rather say that our mission is even discussing where she didn't have children and there were no witnesses, and we learn from here that we force a divorce even without witnesses? Mar says he said so based on the Mishnah, which says if they forced the first husband to divorce her, they being Bezin. Now Bezin would only force someone to get divorced based on witnesses, not based on a rumor. Another Terezak Lamar, we can also say that Brises follow the view of Rebbe, who says that we do force a divorce from the first husband based on rumors alone, when there's a rumor and a little bit of circumstantial evidence as well. Mar says we pass him like Rav and like Rebbe. It's not contradictory. Rather, it depends on if the rumor died down. If it did not die down, we force a divorce even though no witnesses, like Rebbe said. If the rumor died down, we only force a divorce if there are witnesses, like Rav said. By explaining, the rumor is considered to die down if it doesn't last for a day and a half. The length of time is also an issue if there's no break in the rumor during this time. Also, this is only if the rumor didn't stop based on fear. Finally, this is only if a person doesn't have enemies, because if he does, we assume that the one behind the rumors are his enemies, and therefore we give no credibility to it.